Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is excellent to be with you guys here tonight on LA Talk Radio, Empowered Communications, Dr. Pat Allen Live. I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us here to be with you each and every week. And I want to remind you, if you missed tonight's show, which you won't be hearing me, but if you do, go to the LA Talk Radio webpage. You can find our rebroadcast. And no, we rebroadcast. LA Talk Radio rebroadcasts us on both channel 1 and 2 at various times during the week. pardon me. Dr. Allen, you're live on the air.
Yes, I'm glad. This is where we are. We belong here.
Awesome. Well, we already have calls coming in. Shall we just jump right in?
Why not? What else are we going to do?
All right, perfect. I will tell our switchboard we are ready to rock and roll. Okay, looks like we've got a caller coming in right now. I'll remind everybody, 323-203-0815 is the magic number to call if you want to get in with us. And it looks like we dropped our caller. So maybe we got,
hello.
Hey. Caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Awesome.
Hi. So I met this guy about 9 months ago online. We dated briefly, and he broke up with me just out of the blue and said that he wasn't ready for marriage. And I told him I wasn't either, but we decided to be friends. I went ahead and, you know, said, "Did you dating?" And then a month ago, out of the blue, he calls me and tells me how I'm amazing and affirms me and says that, you know, the girl he had tried to date, that I was way better than her. So I didn't pay much attention, but over time we've been talking every day because we had a lot in common. And it's part of my big question is, am I being tagged along by a man who doesn't want to give a commitment? Or is this one of those where I just need to wait it out and be patient, vulnerable, and passive? Because he does all the right things, but he's not willing to give me a commitment yet.
Well, that means you're going to continue to date other men. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that he's one of them, and you're not going to have uncommitted sex with him. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So what's the problem? What's going on in your head that's asking you to ask me?
Two things. One, I have had a history where I've dated men who are emotionally or unavailable. And
men that, wait a minute. Many, many men are not ready to take on the responsibility for a marriage or a mating. How old a man is he?
He's 44.
He's 44. That's pretty up there. Has he ever been married?
No.
So maybe he's vasopressin deprived. Do you know what that is?
No.
Vasopressin is to men what oxytocin is to women. I heard on the radio a week or two ago, I've known about vasopressin for a long time. It's a chemistry, a hormone, that if it's present in a man's body when he's born, he's going to be able to be monogamous sexually. If it's not present in his body when he's born, because he's got to be there before he's born, really, that he cannot commit to monogamy. And he may sneak around, or he may be not honest. So what I heard on the radio is they are going to, at birth, take a blood sample to see if baby boys are producing vasopressin. Because if they don't have it, it's like brain damage. They will not be able to refuse to give themselves casual sex. They will be natural sex addicts. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, wow.
So he may know at 44, he knows that he can't physically stop chasing a sexually desirable woman for her sake. He wants his sex and the chemistry that goes along with it. So I am so happy that society and science has gathered its messages and is now going to do something so that a little boy can work on. Maybe he needs shots. I don't know what he needs. But I was so impressed when they talked about this particular experience. So
wow.
He may be one of those.
Sounds about right. I thought he had borderline personality because he will want emotional intimacy but not physical intimacy. And he seems to break up a lot with women when it gets too intense. He just seemed to have a lot of those characteristics, but I'm not
and
sure.
He may, let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he literally is chemically disabled.
That makes sense.
Good.
That really makes
you might want to Google it because it was on national radio, so maybe you can find that statement just to reaffirm. But I am totally confident it's accurate because I've been tracking it for many, 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 many years. Seems like there are little rodents in the country and little rodents in the cities. And the country ones have vasopressin and the city ones don't. So the ones in the country can stay with the female and help nurture the babies. You see, like penguins.
Oh my God.
Penguins are monogamous for one season. Then they go back out and get somebody else.
Oh.
We are chemical animals.
Yeah, that resonates deeply because we had gone on vacation and I remember looking at him and saying, you don't seem like you have room for someone else. And it was just something I felt instinctively, like he just did not have the capacity.
You know what? Now I've given you a name for it, so look it up.
Thank you. This is very helpful.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye.
Thank you,
bye.
Caller. Very, very interesting, Dr. Allen. I have not heard that, but I am going to definitely look that up myself.
I want you to look it up, but I've been aware of it for 15, 20 years, you know, because I love science and
hello?
And especially the science of sexuality.
Exactly. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen live. Do you have a question?
I do. This is a follow-up and a report back from my phone call last week where...
Okay.
Yes. So I followed your directions and I called the guy that we went out on a date with and he asked me for sex and then I abruptly said no without any explanation of why. So I followed your directions and made a one-time amends and he said, okay, I'm interested in hearing what you have to say. And then he said, well, good luck in your future endeavors.
Which means I don't want to explore this relationship.
And so I guess my question is like, I mean, I kind of feel like it happens a lot, you know, where it's like...
It does happen a lot.
And
especially
so does it
today.
Ever... And why do
it's
you think that is that it happens?
Okay. Today, are we not having a whole PR program about we women will no longer be, quote, harassed, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, bad guys that do harass are going to stop doing it because of the legal problems. But good guys are going to be terrified to ask us out, to ask for a kiss, to put their arm around us, because they're going to be afraid that we're going to challenge them with the idea that they're harassing us.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this happen, though. Women calling me saying, gee, we had such a good time, and then he said, we've got to do this again. And I haven't heard from him. So guess what I'm teaching now?
What?
Give him a call or a text and say, you said you liked what we were doing and that you would see me. You haven't done that. What happened?
Interesting. So, okay.
So you did what that said, and he said, good luck in your future, which means that he doesn't want to take another chance on you, or he was so upset about the way you said no that he's punishing you. But we aren't going mm-hmm. to know the difference until he doesn't call you for 8 weeks.
Okay.
So the day you talk to him, you mark that on a calendar, because if he ruminates, think feel, he may find a way to, quote, forgive you, accept you, or just take another chance on you. And I say, go for it. I want you to
okay.
date people 3 times. So you get
okay.
a good reading on the chemistry. Okay, but thank you for reporting back.
Thank you.
Thanks, caller.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, Dr. Allen, I see that with men, and I don't necessarily blame them with respect to the climate of what's going on socially right now.
I don't blame them either, but I also don't blame the women that are coming out of the woodwork.
Hello?
And saying, that's harassment.
Right. Hey, caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a couple questions. Really, the main question is, how do I know the difference between a real peacock man versus a narcissistic man?
With a peacock man, he is going to, just like peacock, he's going to talk about his success, his goals. You know, he's going to really put it out there to see if you'll be titillated into respecting him. A narcissist is somebody who doesn't listen to you about and doesn't even ask you what you do and what you want and where you're going. So a person who's narcissistic wants respect and cherishing, whereas a normal person is willing to exchange respect and cherishing in the conversation. I always advise men to interview women. Why are you not married to your husband? You know, what happened? Because he wants to interview you for virtue, basically, in order to take a risk on you.
Now,
I do not approve of women interviewing men, because that puts you in that mother masculine role. I would rather you watch what he does when you say, no, thank you, I don't want to have casual sex. That usually will tell you whether he's a narcissist or he's just a man taking care of himself.
So that's what I'm struggling with. A man is is dating me, and we're on our second time around. We were together 9 months. He broke up with me. This was all 8 months ago, and now he's coming back
what
around.
What for? Why did he break up with you? Did he tell you?
So, when he told me that he broke up, when he broke up with me, all he said was that he didn't think that our romantic endeavors were conducive to our happiness. Come to find out, he cheated on me when he was out of town.
What I'm hearing is, his fantasy of a good relationship is fast sex, and when it becomes boring because he hasn't taken the time to know you, and all he's evaluating is basically a physical exam and a sexual experience, he will come back and say, I made a mistake when I dumped you. I want another chance to get to know you and to build a friendship or something with you.
And that's somewhat what we're going through right now, but I've closed my legs. Nope, he's not getting in, and I've explained to him that in order to get in, we need a promise ring and a commitment. And he's still coming around. He tries to get in, but I'm still firm on that. But I'm just concerned that he may be a narcissist. Being that,
what makes you
know,
think he's a narcissist?
Because in the very and maybe it boils down to the perfect imperfect period. Because during the first 3 months, he was amazing. He was perfect. He was attentive. Then it got imperfect.
But everybody does that. Everybody does that. The second 3 months, people start getting real.
I think he puts his.
What?
I think he puts himself on this pedestal. He admitted to me that he has an inferiority complex.
I understand
that. And
so
he talks. I mean, he's just constantly boasting. And I don't know if he's peacocking or if it's narcissism.
Bragging is not narcissism. Not asking you. Not interviewing you. I don't want women to interview men, because if they are interviewed, you're the man. I want men to interview women, and I want them to honor and cherish virtuous women, because isn't it interesting that men sometimes, all the time, whatever time, ask for casual sex? But if you give it to them later on in your relationship, they'll remind you that you gave him free sex and that he'd done it with anybody else. So you're going to get punished for what he liked. That's the sex and making love are so volatile. More people die of it. It's the hardest thing to handle, and it's the way I make my living, whether I'm writing books or giving lectures or doing whatever. But we humans, we benefit when people, churches, politics, whatever, tells us the most expensive thing you can do is have free sex.
So let's just say he's admitted to me that he knows that he's self-absorbed, right?
Yep.
I'm concerned that if we give this a go again, and how do I don't know how to tell the difference if he's being narcissistic. If he's being narcissistic, he's not caring about my feelings at all, correct? He's not being cherishing at all.
He will put you down for being a sensitive, cherishable woman.
Okay. And
that's
Do you think that a narcissist, if they're aware that they're self-absorbed or that there may be a problem, is there light at the end of the tunnel? Can they, like...
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
The job of a woman is to say no so a man can become a gentleman. Men,
okay.
especially if they raise themselves, or daddy is a feminine, feel-good guy, and mommy does not respect men, boys raised in that environment, in fact, Warren Farrell and John Gray have just come out with a book, or recently, called The Crisis of Boys. Boys need to be raised by a good demonstration model father and a mother who likes men who are competitive, conquering, and controlling, but cherish their women, kids, animals, and planet because they like being gentlemen. So it takes at least 4 seasons for you to know somebody. So don't be signing any marriage agreements in 6 months. Take the time, the year, to investigate the good qualities of the man you're with. But don't punish him for being a man who wants to be sexually close to you only when he's criminal, rapist, whatever. In that case, call the police. So, have I said what you need to hear?
I think so, yeah. What I'm getting is continue being virtuous. I have the power of no if I'm not comfortable, and just to kind of continue watching how he's treating me over the next
How you negotiate.
Okay.
You don't intimidate
yes.
or seduce each other. You negotiate. Win-win.
Okay.
And remember
that's
what
this. I needed. Thank you. Yes.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. I do not advise women to tell men what they want. They can get the same job done by saying what they don't want. But don't punish
them
for wanting. What?
I used your advice on that when we were talking, and I wouldn't let him in. And I told him that I didn't want to be a forever girlfriend, and I don't want to be a free wife, and that I required a commitment and a ring from him.
I love that. Oh, I love your phraseology.
Good. Okay. Yeah, you've taught me well, doctor.
Good.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thanks, caller. Good. Awesome. Lots of great information there, Dr. Allen. I love it.
I love it too.
She did have a great phrase there. That was very good. I liked it.
Yeah,
firm but feminine. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Dr. Allen, I'm calling
yes.
because I'm a member of a group. And there are two men
yes,
in the group that are friends.
Yes, I remember the group, yes.
Yeah, and I like both of them. I think they're both really interesting. How would you
Good.
Navigate having a crush on more than one guy at a time in a group like that where they know each other?
What you would do is not have intercourse. You would do everything but. When you have intercourse, you're making a special statement. You know, in the old marriage vows, who gives this woman to this man? Well, actually, she does. And when a woman gives her body to a man, like let's picture back in ancient times, more women died of bad pregnancies and bad illnesses related to being pregnant than anything. Today
oh,
we
yeah.
have wonderful doctors and gynecologists, but women knew instinctively, don't get pregnant unless you're safe enough with this person.
Definitely. So,
you have reached the voicemail box of...
I think we lost our caller. But go ahead, doctor. Let's hear what you're saying, because it's very interesting.
Well, what I'm saying is that today women can take the dangerous chance of pregnancy and childbirth. In the old days, when all of these systems were set in motion, women were protected by political groups,
Hello?
By religious groups. You see?
Yes,
but now
I do.
We have to protect ourselves.
Yes. Hey, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Sure. Hello, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hey, Saddle.
Hello.
What's up?
The rain. No, not much. It's all good here. It's lovely. I hope you guys are doing well, too. I have a bit of a strange question. I've noticed that... how should I even put this? So, since I've started practicing Dr. Allen's stuff, maybe I just see through a lot of BS, but is it possible, like, I've just noticed, like, I'm not as, like, light as I used to be, because I can... I don't know if I think too much or I didn't expect you guys to call me back so soon. I just called 5 minutes ago. am I making sense?
Yes.
I'm not as, not that it got me anywhere good before, but I was more like carelessly, like light and kind of a little more carefree, I think. So the question
what
is,
I'm hearing
is
you didn't mind casual sex.
And well, that too, as well. But it was also just less analyzing, I think. And well, yeah, I don't have casual sex anymore, but that's a good part. I'm glad that I'm not doing it anymore.
Well,
way better.
Remember, casual sex is extraordinarily dangerous.
It is. I know.
You see? And when you're beginning your sexual investigations as a young person. Do you know when kids are starting to fool around? Nine years old.
Wow.
You know, they're playing doctor and doing whatever they're doing. But with that in mind, your mindfulness is setting up systems which civilized man and woman have been supporting either through religious groups or through political groups, and you see what we're doing today with our Me Too. I was harassed too. So these are all the processes that have to be done by each human being in order to be able to survive misused sexuality. Now, you can call it immoral in the church. You can call it illegal if it's rape, but we each have to set boundaries on what we want and what we don't want. And for men that want free sex or free wives, they have a right to do that as long as they don't break the law. But when they put down women for not being free and casual and fun and lighthearted, whatever, what they're setting is a standard of sexuality which has proven not to be functional or healthy just by the activity of it. So you may have been a cheaper lay in the old days, but you weren't as safe as you are today.
That's very true. Yes, it's very true. I see. And what do you think, as people age, their feelings get less intense? Because I thought maybe that's what it is too. Well, not that I'm old or anything. I'm only 34. But does it, like, due to hormones? Maybe, I know hormones change at 45 to 50 in both men and women. But
yeah, they do. Do I think?
Yeah, because I was...
That age, let me tell you something. People who like the fun of casual sex do not enjoy making love. And the result of that is when they get to that sensitive chemical time of andropause for men and menopause for women, because they don't know what it feels like to make love to another human being through touching, they are the ones that have to use pills to get, you know, action.
Oh, yeah, I remember you mentioned that.
So I try to teach people, you know, getting to I Do, my book, is for helping people get to either dating, you know, mating, dating, or marriage in order to really practice making love to somebody you like, you love, and you lust. Chemistry, compatibility, and communication. Women knowing what to say no to, and men knowing what to ask for.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Okay. Yes.
So, gay and lesbian people, they have the same body. So they have to decide, either by chemical nature or by psychological desire, if they want to be masculine and go after what they want sexually, or they want to be feminine and say no to what they don't want as a way to get a partner. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting.
You want to be cherished. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. But have you ever made love to a man from your male to his female?
I don't know. I've definitely dated men that I now realize were feminine, and I was the masculine energy. I didn't realize
that's
it
what
at the
I
time.
Just said. I just said that.
I have, but it wasn't very fun.
It wasn't very smart, but it may have been chemically what your body wanted on that day.
Yes, one of them was my ex-boy. Well, I don't even know. Because I for years on and off, I was a mistress to a married man, but then I had boyfriends during that time as well, so it was a very complex situation. But yeah, I remember I had a good chemistry with him, but it got so boring so quickly because he was a girl. So
I understand that. So, you know, it's really interesting because we're all both male and we're all both female, men and women. And so mm-hmm. we have multiple choices. But if we are mm-hmm. virtuous people, we use our sexuality to make love, not just to have dopamine excitement.
Mm-hmm.
There's a group called Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous, which is part of the AA program, which helps people relate sexually in a mindful way. Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous.
Oh, I've heard about that. Interesting.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Have you something else to say?
No, I don't think so. I just wanted to, because I was talking to friends of mine, and we kind of got on the topic of how feelings are less intense when you get older, and maybe they're
where
just
where do they
bored,
get that?
Well, some of them have been in a relationship for a while, and none of them
oh,
really have good relationships.
I will accept
so maybe that's
that very often. You know, we human animals are not built chemically, physically, mentally, emotionally, to be monogamous. There is a part of us that wants diversification. Now, what I tell couples, I have a book I wrote, and it's called Staying Married and Loving It. And that's mm-hmm. about being created sexually. Instead of having hot dogs and sauerkraut every day, why not create mm-hmm. some interesting meals sexually? Like, I'll design something this week and you design something next week. Being creative sexually is very important. We humans like diversification. Now, that may mean we have to make love to the neighbor. That could get a little problem. So, but we can get diverse with each other in our loving relationship. You don't need to eat the same meal every day. Get creative.
Sure, I agree.
All right?
Got it. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Wigs are great. Okay. We've got another call coming in. Let's see that we can get it hooked up here. All right.
Hello?
Caller, you're on the air. Hello? Live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do have a question. Actually, two questions if I have time.
You bet.
So my first question is maybe shorter. I have a date. Well, a guy has a plan to go out on a date with me today. I met him online and I'm trying the duty dating thing that you advise. But I just discovered that he's in an open relationship. He just told me as we were talking online. So I'm kind of torn between, should I still go just to kind of learn how to be the feminine energy, or should I just cancel?
I want you to know that is he a candidate for you to be in a sexual relationship with? How many times have you dated him?
Today will be the first date.
Well, I suggest you date him 3 times. To see if he wants you to be a sexual person, or you don't want to have intercourse with him, you just want to be a social person with him.
Okay. Okay, I can do
that. He has the right to be whoever he wants in his private life. But I think it's wonderful that he told you up front that he wants an open relationship with people.
Okay. All right. So my second question is, a guy has taken me out now for 2 dates, and he asked for sex, and I said no.
Did you say thank you for asking?
Yes, I did say thank you for asking, and I said no. I went through the whole script.
No, I don't have casual sex unless I'm in a monogamous, continuous, long-term, going towards marriage or not, relationship. You didn't tell him how to get in.
I did tell him all of that.
Say that to me.
Okay. So, I mean, I went through the whole script that you have. I think it's in your book or maybe just from your, from the radio show.
I remember saying it millions of times.
Right. So, anyway, the second time he asked, unfortunately for myself, I gave in. And so I felt really horrible about that. And so a few days later, I wrote him a hi-bye letter, just letting him know that I really enjoyed spending time with him and all that, but I just didn't want to have casual sex. I told him what I want, what I don't want, and the future. So once I sent that, you know, he responded that, you know, that's too bad. He really enjoys time with me, and he actually wants to have a relationship with me.
Well, he wants you to be in his harem.
What does that mean?
That means you plus your sister women. I don't hear that he said he wants not to be in an open relationship.
No, this is a
he
different
wants you
guy.
In his harem. What?
This is a second guy.
Oh, this is not the same guy. This guy that you're talking about now does not want an open relationship.
Right. So this second guy, I've gone out on 2 dates with him. I slept with him. I felt horrible. So then I sent him a hi bye letter.
I don't mind you sleeping with him. It's when you have penetrating intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal. That's a big step up in seriousness to hugging,
well,
kissing,
I guess,
and sleeping together.
No, so I had intercourse with him.
I got it.
Right.
And you felt bad.
So, right, I felt horrible that I hadn't even made it, you know, through a month. So then that's when I sent...
Did you use drugs or alcohol on that occasion?
Yes, there was alcohol involved.
Well, when a woman drinks, she knocks out her instinct, which says, no, don't do this, and goes up to her intuition. This could be really fun. When a man uses mind-altering chemicals, his brain goes, I know it's not right to have casual sex with a woman, but mm-hmm. I want to feel good. So give me a drink. I want to feel instinctively instead of know intuitively that I'm doing the wrong thing. Women become men
right.
when they drink and use drugs. Men become women. So that's the way it is.
Right. So after that happened, I sent him the hi-bye. I just, you know, I went through the list of what I don't want, what I do want. And so he responded that he actually does want a relationship with me. So we're set to meet and talk about it. But I'm concerned, or I guess I'm just trying to ask, like, what kind of questions should I ask him? Because that's something else. Like, I want to know him a little more. Mm-hmm.
It's what he wants from you. Ask him, what is it you want from me? Do you want to think of building a relationship? Would you be open to being married? It's, are you willing to be monogamous sexually and socially? Can we see each other weekly? It's monogamy, continuity, and longevity. He asks, well, what is it going to take for me to make love to you? And you're going to say, do you want a promise ring? Do you want, what is it you want?
Well, again, at the end of the day, I want marriage. But I also feel like he's going to tell me what he thinks I want to hear. And it might not be necessarily true. So I'm just trying to think, how can I tell that he's saying the truth?
Because within 8 weeks, you'll know whether he's telling the truth. People lie all the time. I don't trust people. I take trustworthy chances. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep. You can't trust people. We're not built trustworthy until we demonstrate it. So that's why safe sex is so important, because people can lie about unsafe sex. Oh, it's only a pimple. Okay.
Right.
You see? So give up the word trust and change it into trustworthiness. I will make love when you and I are trustworthy.
Okay. All right. And another question that I had for you, same guy, you know, he told me how much he makes, and money for me is an issue, and I make significantly more than him. And I was just curious, like, how to bring up that topic again, that is something I'm concerned about.
Well, you don't marry him until you open the book and you see how you handle time, I, we, and us, space, where you're going to live, money, mine, yours, and ours, and play, non-sexual and sexual. You've got negotiating to do before. With intercourse, you've got to negotiate monogamy, continuity, and longevity. But when you start moving towards engagement, you have to start talking about things. Chapter 14 in my book is about negotiating deals time-wise, space-wise, where you live, money-wise, and play-wise, sexually and non-sexually. So it's all a matter of negotiating.
Okay. And okay, so last question. He also does this thing where when we're talking, he's just like, oh my gosh, I love you so much. And it's, you know, it's kind of awkward for me.
That's not
you
awkward.
Know, we haven't.
That's affectionate. There's nothing wrong with the man gushing love.
So even though we've just met, that's fine.
Honey, men know they're interested within 3 minutes. We women are slower. We listen for what we want to hear. And we either want to, either we're trying to get laid or we're trying to get paid. Men are trying to get in at the cheapest price. And it's up to us to tell them what it takes to get in.
Right. Okay. I'll try that. Thank you so much, Pat.
Surely. Good luck.
Thanks, caller.
Thanks. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Most women are waiting for those words, and she got them and she didn't want them or didn't know what to do with them.
Oh.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, caller. You're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. My question is, I'm just reading the book, Getting to I Do, and I got to the part that says I shouldn't, well, I guess it says something like to basically, I think it's like a no contact thing where I shouldn't even hear his voice. Receive messages from him. Is that, but I thought I also heard from previous calls that it's okay to have that continued contact. I just wanted to clarify that.
I'm not aware of teaching anybody not to respond to their phone calls, texts, emails, snail mails. I tell people, if you want to be cherished, wait until they chase you. If you want to be respected, chase them. So do you want to be cherished or respected by a man?
I want to be cherished.
Then you have to wait for him to offer. And then you say, that's nice, but I'm not comfortable, or yes, or whatever. What did you want to say there?
So in the meantime, he is with another person now, and he contacts me for other matters, like for work and things like that. And
I got it. So he's not romantic anymore?
No.
Okay. Are you still attracted to him?
Yes, that's my problem. I still am.
Okay. Now, every time you see him and smell him, it triggers you. But that will go away if you replace him with somebody else. So are you out there dating, flirting?
No, I'm not.
Well, then you're married to him.
Yeah.
Do you want to waste the time being married to somebody that doesn't want you?
No, I don't want to waste my time. However, there's a little bit of, I guess I'm deluding myself. I'm still having hope that maybe he might, it might not work out.
He might do that. It's going to be hard to get over him because you get to smell him at work. But are you going dancing? Are you belonging to a church that has social meetings? In other words, are you doing anything to replace him once a week?
No, not at the moment. Would you suggest that I do that now?
Right now.
Oh.
And that means you're going to, do you like to dance?
Yes, I do.
Have you a dance place somewhere near you?
Yes, there are.
Would you be willing to go there for an hour or two once a week to dance with people that might be attracted to you?
Yes, I could do that. I do have friends that I could go with. I guess there's still a part of me, though, Dr. Allen, where I'm thinking, well, if I do that and I do find somebody else, and then what if things do not work out with him with this one? And then I would have already...
I've got news for you. Whoever you date, you can walk away from unless you marry them. So my suggestion is, right now you're married to this person and you're not looking for his replacement, and that's eating up your time. How old are you?
I'm 55.
Isn't this a bit much to not look for his replacement at least?
Yes, that's true. I'm wasting my time. I don't have a lot of time left.
Well, then would you please go dancing once a week for a minimum of an hour and dance with various people?
Time is up. Okay. We've got to go. Thanks, caller. Dr. Allen, real quick, before we go, what you got to say?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the contracts you're willing to make and keep.
All right. Materials at www.oneeyestore.com. Private appointments, info at drpatallen.com. Live script appointments are available. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.